The Vikings have requested three different interviews for defensive coordinator, and today we're going to go over all of them. It's the Locked On Vikings podcast.
You like it on 3-1-2-3?
You like it?
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in to the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. You can also find the show on Amazon Fire or Roku. Just download the Locked On Minnesota Sports app. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy made easy. Just pick 2 to 5 of your favorite players, and whether or not they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection. You can get up to 10 times your money on entry if you're right. And first-time users get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Today on the show, we're talking about D coordinators. The Vikings are in the market for one, and since the last time we talked over the weekend, they sent out interview requests for three of them: Brian Flores, Sean Desai, and Ryan Nielsen. So we are going to talk about them, talk about their pros and cons and stuff. So let's start with Brian Flores. That is somebody that I think a lot of you are very excited about. I'm pretty stoked on the idea too, and I'll kind of start with that. Like, I like the idea of Brian Flores. So here's the thing about him. If you don't know why Brian Flores is available, you might remember, hey, that wasn't that guy like a head coach like 2 years ago? So it's politics is the reason for that. He had a whole issue in Miami with Miami, like asking him to tank, and then he said no, and then there's some other like stuff. Now he's suing the Miami Dolphins for some, I think, defamation or something in that family. A crazy situation over there, and kind of wild that he got a job at all, considering he's in an active lawsuit with one of the other teams, and teams stick together a little more than that. But it's never been about his merit as a coach. So all that stuff shouldn't concern you unless you are a stakeholding member of the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, Fergie, you don't have to agree with me. So I'm not worried about it. As a coach, Brian Flores is very revered as a teacher. And he's a very tough guy, big time tough guy energy. He'll light you up and he'll yell at you and stuff. And a lot of players have said that they appreciate that about him. That he's kind of gotten the best out of them because of that. But you know, this is it. To me, Brian Flores represents a lot of the things that Mike Zimmer did well here, and to me it represents, and I mean this in a good way, a return to Mike Zimmer. Now, you know, that's not saying that Mike Zimmer shouldn't have been fired after all or whatever. Obviously there was a lot more going on behind the scenes that made that kind of a necessity. But Brian Flores, schematically, he's off the Belichick tree, and both Belichick and Zimmer are off of the Bill Parcells tree, and all these guys run the same defensive scheme. And I'm using the word scheme in a very, very, very broad sense. The same structure and language and generally the same kinds of reads in terms of how difficult it is to teach it to someone. It's going to be easier to teach it to someone that already has experience in that system, which is a lot of the Vikings veterans, although who knows which of those guys will actually be in the building by then. But that is a man match cover 7 system. In terms of the fronts, it's a hybrid 4-3-3-4 thing. It kind of switches. I believe it's a 3-4 base with like a 4-2-5 nickel or 2-4-5, depending on what you call a linebacker or not. But I don't want you to get too bogged down in all that. Because what I've been hearing a lot is, well, 3-4 or 4-3 or a 4-3 or a 3-4 or a 3-4 or a 4-3. And that is very old words. I've been saying this all year. If you are concerned with whether or not the Vikings are in a 4-3 or a 3-4, I need you to get your head out of 2008. this is a different world now. That distinction, and O'Connell has mentioned this several times, only really matters on like 20% of plays where you're in your base defense, where they're in something like two running backs or two tight ends, and you need an extra big guy on the field. 4-3 defenses, bring an extra linebacker on the field. 3-4 defenses, bring an extra big boy on the field. That's pretty much the difference there. But once you get to nickel packages, the front spacing is a little different, and there are subtleties there that are kind of interesting. But in terms of like overall, like the definition of the defense, the identity of the defense, what you should be looking at is their coverage structure. The Fangio Donatel thing that we ran this year is zone match. That means you have a zone, you have a place to go, and then you're supposed to match it tight to routes. Now, the Vikings didn't do a very good job of matching that, like, at all. They played a lot of landmarks and just kind of let things come to them, and they got shredded for it. But the idea on paper is that you're supposed to, like, kind of be available to a zone, find a landmark, find the route that's coming into that landmark, and then play it tight. Man match is you just have a guy, and there's a set of rules that tell you which guy that is, and then you play him tight. But both of these match concepts are supposed to play guys tight, and it can kind of look like man coverage every rep, kind of everywhere. Brian Flores and Ryan Nielsen, we'll get to him, are man match. Ed Donatel, Vic Fangio, Sean Desai are zone match. And man match and zone match are pretty much all you'll see in the NFL nowadays. You don't see a lot of spot drop zone. I think there are a couple teams that run just like straight up, you know, cover one and stuff. The Eagles do it sometimes. They have a package for it, but they live in a lot of different worlds. But those are the kind of, that's the decision we're making. So Zimmer was man match. We went to zone match. It was a catastrophe. So now the decision is, do you give everybody a year two in zone match, or do you abandon it and go back to man match? Brian Flores represents the latter there. And that's his saying, we're going to go back to man match. We're going to go back to what we were doing before with everybody else, or what they were doing before with everybody else, because the people making this decision decided to not stick with that when they got here, right? This is Kevin O'Connell saying, all right, we'll go back to what you guys were doing before I got here. But he is known, Flores in particular, is known also as a really aggressive blitzer and a really aggressive play caller, and again, a good teacher. So if you're going to run Flores, you got to have corners. The man match world, I don't think it's as reliant as the zone match world on corners. I mean, they're both insanely reliant on corners, and I think corners are the most important position on defense for both of these schemes. You need corners really bad. And so the other part of this is, and I believe, like, the other part of the pitch is, I believe, you know, Brian Flores will come in and bring us back to a scheme that a lot of these guys could play, and I believe he'll do a better job with the Andrew Booths and the Caleb Evanses and Cameron Dantzlers and, like, all these guys. Well, that's the whole room. As it stands right now, that's the entire room. But these young guys, you know, will come in and turn these guys into the corners that this scheme needs. So it's kind of, hey, we need some DBs to run this, and Brian Flores comes with the ability to mold the guys we have into the DBs that we need. The other thing about Flores is he loves to live in, I guess most places would call it cover one. In the man match cover seven world, it's known as Steeler and Seahawk, but you can think of it as cover one. He loves to live in cover one, and he loves to live in cover zero, where there's no deep safeties and we're blitzing a bunch of people. And it's like, it's this very aggressive kind of YOLO world. And if there is any issue with going from man match to zone match back to man match, which is what we'd be doing here, being a completely insane blitz team is a pretty good way to cover that up, because you can make a bunch of mistakes on the back end and it might not matter because the blitz is getting home. And if the blitz gets beat, well, then it probably wasn't a coverage mistake. That's just kind of what you deal with when you blitz. So it's kind of a way to paper things over while people are learning. And it's what I thought Ed Donatel should have done this year. So that's kind of the pitch, is the Vikings can play press man. They can be more aggressive. And I think we can unlock more cool stuff if we go back to man match and we got the teacher to install it properly. That's the pitch of Brian Flores, and hey, a little tough love also. Like, we probably need that because maybe we got a little soft. That's what, if they hire Brian Flores, that's what I hear the Vikings telling us, is that's what we think will fix the defense. But there's also Ryan Nielsen, and there's also Sean Desai, and I want to make sure I get enough time to talk about those guys. So we'll do that. First, I want to talk to you about Prize Picks. It is Daily Fantasy Made Easy, especially fun in the postseason when we're watching games that we don't really have a stake in, unless you like particularly hate the Cowboys or whatever, which if you're over a certain age, I understand. And you can hate the Cowboys as much as you hate the Packers. You probably should if you saw the Hail Mary Drew Pearson pushed off. Prize Picks is better than Daily Fantasy. It's a different kind of game. Instead of putting together a whole lineup and entering it into a big pool of people, it's just you versus the house, you versus the Prize Picks projection. You pick 2 to 5 of your favorite guys and whether or not they'll do better or worse than that Prize Picks projection. And if you're right, you can win up to 10 times your money. And you can do this for basketball and hockey and stuff too. So don't think when football season's over that Prize Picks is over. First time users get a 100% deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That means if you put in $100, you get $100 slapped right on top of it, right when you sign up. That's promo code Locked On for a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 at prizepicks.com or on the Prize Picks app. Thank you all so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. For your second listen, check out Locked On NFL, especially check out Locked On NFL on Tuesdays, where you can find me and Ross Jackson, who knows a lot about the next guy on the list, who is Ryan Nielsen. Ross covers the Saints. He does Locked On Saints. And Ryan Nielsen has been the co-DC for the Saints this year and mostly is a D-line and fronts guy. And here's the deal. As much as I could find on Nielsen, which is a lot less than I could find on either of the other two guys. So, you know, in all fairness, this is the guy I know the least about. But I don't get it. I really don't. With Brian Flores, I get the pitch there. And with Sean Desai, I kind of get the same thing. Like, what's the pitch? What's the elevator, you know, reason that we're going to hire this guy? And we'll get to that. But with Ryan Nielsen, he gets a lot of credit for some of the D-line guys that have developed in New Orleans. Guys like Trey Hendrickson, Marcus Davenport. Cam Jordan actually gives him a lot of credit too, even though I'm pretty sure Cam Jordan was there before Ryan Nielsen was. And coming off of the Dennis Allen system, I would imagine that's what you would run if you gave Ryan Nielsen, you know, kind of keys to the car on defense, which is man match cover 7. But unlike Brian Flores, Ryan Nielsen calls it a lot more straight, or Dennis Allen called it a lot more straight up. And I would have to assume that Ryan Nielsen calls it a lot more straight up too. So it would be very similar from a play calling and scheme perspective to what Mike Zimmer did. However, I have really no evidence one way or another. We have no idea how good Ryan Nielsen is at blitzes. And part of what made Mike Zimmer such a good defensive play caller was the exotic blitzes. And like the way that he constructed pressures and stuff was always, the architecture of them was always really good. The Saints have had some really cool ones, but a lot of their success up front has just been guys eating, just like dudes being good, rather than like creative schemed unblocked things. So I'm not sure how I feel about that. But here is what everybody said. Like, I asked Ross about this, and here's what he said, and everything else I've looked up about him. When Dan Campbell left New Orleans to become head coach of the Lions, he kind of had, I mean, he's Dan Campbell, right? He had this leadership role in the Saints. Ryan Nielsen has been called upon since to take up that mantle, to kind of be the energy in the room guy. To be the leadership figure in the coaching staff that Dan Campbell was. And by all accounts, everybody raves about how he did at that. So I guess the pitch is the Vikings didn't have adequate leadership on defense, and fixing that is kind of worth abandoning any progress that the Vikings individually made with zone match. Like, if you're somebody like Cam Bynum or somebody like Danielle Hunter, who kind of got better as the season went on, you're kind of abandoning that progress, and that's worth it because really what the Vikings need is leadership. That's what I guess the pitch is for Ryan Nielsen, and I'm not too sold on that pitch, but again, I just don't know what I'm supposed to know about him. Again, he's a fronts guy, he's a D-line guy, and as the co-DC in New Orleans, he like didn't have a lot to do with the secondary at all. So this is like a, we're going to make the most out of Danielle Hunter, we're going to make the most out of Za'Darius Smith kind of move, which again, I'm not too sold on, because if we're going to focus this on something, I'd much rather focus it on a guy like Flores, who would supposedly come in with the ability to develop D-backs, or somebody like Desai, who is known for developing D-backs. And again, we'll get to him. I don't know. Ryan Nielsen feels a little bit more like a culture move than a scheme move or a developer kind of move. And I can see the argument for that, but it's not what I would pick, I guess. So that's where I stand there. But again, whatever I don't know about him and that we end up learning. I mean, this time last year, I didn't know very much about Kevin O'Connell either, and he was near the bottom of my list. And since then, like if I knew what I know about him now, if I knew that then, you know, if I knew about how much of a culture guy he would be, and if I knew the kind of things that he would emphasize, I probably would have been a lot more excited about him. So, grain of salt on all of these things. It's January. We don't know jack all about the 2023 Vikings, but that's part of the fun. We do have one last guy to talk about. He is the guy I am the most excited about. Sean Desai is probably my favorite candidate of these three. Brian Flores is a close second, and I just don't really get it with Nielsen. But before we talk about him, I would like to talk to you about FanDuel. It's the number one sportsbook in America. And if you're new to FanDuel, that is even better. They have a whole bunch of great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. If you are new, you can join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. And I know I don't have to tell y'all this because y'all send me your weird parlays all the time, which I love. Please keep doing it. But same game parlay, of course, gives you a chance at a bigger payout, all on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Since, I don't know, October, I have been trying to defend the Fangio scheme. And again, when it comes to zone match versus man match or 4-3 versus 3-4, I think as fans, a lot of people want to just do whatever the thing that's different from last year was. We did zone match. Okay, well, I guess man match is better then because zone match was really bad, right? Like that's the logic, is zone match was really bad, so I guess we should do man match. Please pay no attention to what the teams in the playoffs are running. And that's, I guess, the point I want to make is, was the problem something innate to zone match, a coverage structure that like half the league is running, or was it a problem with the way the Vikings called it, right? Or with the way the Vikings installed it, with the way they executed it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. If you ask me, it's the latter, and I'm hammering that. It's the latter with a bullet. Sean Desai kind of represents that opinion, which is, look, we can make this work in a zone match. We don't have to abandon what we came into this building trying to build, but we got to do it different than what Ed Donatell did. We have to call it more aggressively, and we have to teach the D-backs a little better. And that's the first thing about Sean Desai. I guess if there's one thing to know about Sean Desai, it's that he is supposed to be a big-time D-backs guy. He gets a lot of credit for how some of the, like how Jalen Johnson came along in his rookie year. He gets a lot of credit for other guys from earlier in his Bears tenure. He had been working with Chicago since Fangio was there, and he stayed there since Fangio went. After the 2021 season, the Bears cleaned house. Then Desai goes over to Seattle. They bring in two rookies, Kobe Bryant and Tariq Woolen. And Tariq Woolen was looking at Defensive Rookie of the Year for a while. And Kobe Bryant, no slouch either. Like those two guys totally exploded. Ask any Seahawks fans. They're super, super stoked on those guys. And it's really interesting too with those two guys, because Kobe Bryant and Tariq Woolen have very, very different skill sets. Tariq Woolen is like a gangly alien that has no idea what he's doing and needed all of the like help and prep that he could. And Kobe Bryant has a very specific and established skill set, and it's more about putting him in positions where he can use what he already knows rather than teaching him new stuff. And Desai succeeded immensely in both respects. There is a mountain of evidence out there that when Desai gets your hands on a gets his hands on a cornerback, that dude is going to be good. It's going to work out. Like, that's the point of Sean Desai. And it should be very exciting to you, considering we got a whole bunch of young DBs that need to develop. Like, we need these guys to work out, and we need to get other dudes in the building. But if, you know, Andrew Booth doesn't come along, if Caleb Evans doesn't come along more or whatever, even if you get other free agents, then you got a depth problem, right? So we need that kind of thing. So that would be great. But honestly, the thing that gets me more with Desai is, so he was also a co-DC in Seattle. I guess that was the way it worked. I don't think he was nominally co-DC. He was like associate head coach / defense. And then Clint Hurt was the defensive coordinator, like nominally. But the way it worked out in Seattle was that Sean Desai was in charge of coverages. And he was, his hands were on the coverages a lot more. And his hands were on the fronts a little bit more too, I guess. I talked to Griff, who's at C-Mike Spin Move. He's very knowledgeable about all this stuff. And he kind of filled me in on some of the things. But basically, the Seahawks lived in the three-match family of the Fangio scheme. So the Fangio coverage world, I can divide it up into, or I prefer to divide it up into kind of three families of coverage call. There is the quarters, cover six, cover eight. There's the, like the split safety world where you'll have half on one side, quarters on one side, or maybe both quarters or both halves, cover two in there. That family is the one the Vikings lived in for like 70% of the season, and they got absolutely torched on it. Then there's the cover one world where the Vikings went to at the end of the season, and they got torched there too. And that is just like straight up pure, we got better dudes than you, so we're going to play man to man. And the Vikings didn't have better dudes, so they didn't do it. And when you don't have better dudes than the Giants, who hate their wide receiver room, you got a problem, right? So that also didn't work. But the three match world is cover three, as you probably know it if you play Madden, but with matching principles instead of like landmark zones like the old Pete Carroll kinds from, you know, 10 years ago. But I think because Pete Carroll was a three guy, is a, like the cover three guy in the league, Sean Desai coming in and kind of installing that three match version and that becoming the influence, and that's where the Seahawks went, and then these rookie corners were excelling, there's a formula there that can work. The problem with the Seahawks, at least as Griff told it to me, was the fronts, that they had a lot more success in like flattened out fronts, but that the Seahawks hated what's called the penny front, which is five guys on the line of scrimmage, and that's very, very good against zone runs, which is everywhere, right? I think every one of our division opponents runs zone all the time. Well, I don't know, the Lions run game is wacky, but the five up on the line and then only one linebacker, and then you play nickel behind that. That's what a penny front is, and it's sort of the wave right now. It's like a pretty popular thing, and from what I gather, Sean Desai doesn't like it. The Seahawks never used it, and they used it some and they had success some, and they should have used it more, I guess, and it led to this really bad run defense where every time they were in nickel, they were always in super vanilla fronts, and guys just, you know, teams just slashed him in the run game. So I'd be a little bit worried about that with Desai having kind of keys to the kingdom. But the thing about those fronts is that they need really talented players to win. The Seahawks do not have guys like Harrison Phillips and Dalvin Tomlinson. And I think those guys can win one-on-one enough. They won one-on-one all the time this year, and it just didn't matter because either the ball was already out of the quarterback's hands, or in the case of the run game, a linebacker was late and you could go take advantage of that instead. there are a lot of things that went wrong in this run game that made it so that those one-on-ones didn't matter. In this world, they mattered a lot, and the Seahawks got punished for that because they couldn't win those one-on-ones, but maybe that would be the idea, is, okay, well, we have the dudes to do it. That would, I guess, be the pitch. And I definitely have my skepticisms of that. I think that would be a weakness and a concern, and so there's your downside. But the pitch of Sean Desai, if you ask me, is, look, this scheme works, but Ed Donatell called it wrong. He taught it wrong. So let's get a better teacher and somebody who plays it a lot more aggressive. They played a lot more press. A lot has been made about the Vikings playing too much off coverage. And to me, that's a side effect of living in the split safety world. So I haven't talked about it as much because I think that's just, yeah, that's like part of why the split safety world hasn't worked. But I think the problems with that are even more structural. And I've talked about that instead. But in all three of these guys, the corners need to be a strength. And right now, not only is it not a strength, the Vikings don't even have enough guys, like, period. They don't have enough warm bodies under contract. So they, you know, if you're bringing back Duke Shelley and Patrick Peterson, that's already two transactions and you're still like six guys short of a full room for camp. So that is going to be, either way, that's going to be the priority. But to kind of wrap it up and review, Brian Flores, the pitch there is, all right, the zone match thing didn't work. Let's go back to what we were calling before. Let's call it crazy aggressive. Let's be the aggressive blitz team in the NFC North. Let's, you know, let's be the team that centers hate to play because we're always throwing everything at you all the time and we have cool pressures. We'll play up, we'll play press, we'll get defensive backs that can do that, and Brian Flores can teach it to them. And we'll use tough love, right? We'll kind of put a little salt back in the culture. That's your Brian Flores pitch. Your Ryan Nielsen pitch is, hey, these guys didn't have the leadership. I think that, you know, again, it's a culture thing. We're going to get the most out of Hunter and Za'Darius Smith. We're kind of bringing in a guy specifically to maximize those dudes and see if we can't get a front that's crazy. And whatever happens on the back end, you know, we'll still kind of do it, but we'll still go back to that man match world. We're going back to the Zimmer scheme and we're abandoning the zone match. And the only one of these three guys that keeps the zone match is Sean Desai. And the pitch with him is, the scheme works, but Ed just didn't call it right. So let's bring in a guy that will call. We're going to live in this cover three match world. We're going to get defensive backs who are a little bit better. We'll still mix in some quarters every once in a while. We'll mix in some cover one every once in a while. But we're going to base out of a different page of the same playbook rather than changing the playbook entirely, which is what the other two guys represent. There you have it. Personally, I like Sean Desai. I would not, you wouldn't hear me complain about Brian Flores at all. I'd be plenty happy with that. Ryan Nielsen, I think I would need some convincing. But you please do not just take my ranking and run with it. Please tell me yours. All right. Tweet it at me or leave a YouTube comment if you want. Tell me how you feel about these three guys. Hopefully I've given you a little bit of a better understanding of where they come from and the differences that I think you should care about. Tomorrow's Twitter Tuesday. So if you have any questions on this, ask me. Just send them to me at Luke Brown NFL or at Locked On Vikings. There's a Google form in the show notes you can also get. Or send an email to LockedOnVikingsPodcast@gmail.com. I'll see y'all tomorrow. And as always, Skull.